And now, from our mile-high Denver, Colorado studios, we bring you Connie Shaw with Spirit in Action.
Hello, everyone. This is Connie Shaw, your host for Awakening Talks with Compelling People, where we interview leading lights and emerging figures in the fields of spirituality, wellness, and selfless service. Today's guest is Rosemary Strauss of Peaceful Valley Farm in Dry Ridge, Kentucky. Rosemary is a nurse and a massage therapist. The topic of tonight's talk is in-home elder care, and the title of the interview is Mom, My Menagerie, and Me with Rosemary Strauss. Hi, Rosemary. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Connie. Thank you for having me on.
You are certainly welcome. Rosemary, a lot of people are going to be interested in the fact that we have the word menagerie in the title. Would you tell us a bit about your menagerie there at Peaceful Valley Farm in Dry Ridge, Kentucky?
Well, I have 4 dogs, 3 cats, 2 horses, one that is in human life, 99 years old.
Oh, my.
I have a bird. I have also my pondfish, who just had 4 little babies. Toys, they're just absolutely adorable.
Well, now, how much help do you have there on your farm?
It's just me and me.
Just you. So you are taking care of your mother and all of your animals. Well, now, tell me, please, what is your mother's name and her age?
Her name is Teresa Ann Kalinsky, and she's 97 and a half.
97 and a half years old, Teresa Ann Kalinsky. Rosemary, how is it that you happen to be living with your mother and being her sole caregiver?
Well, it wasn't planning. She wasn't planning to come to Kentucky to live with me. She fell while she was living in Florida. She had her own home, and she fell, had a concussion, so she came to Kentucky so I could take care of her. And at that point, the doctors just gave her a year to live.
And how long ago was that?
That was 5 years ago.
So, really, she has improved markedly under your care, is that right?
Yes.
And being a nurse helps, of course, but it's not necessary, right, to care for a loved one at home?
No, it's just being aware and just diligent in their care. For example, when she first came here, the doctors assumed she had Alzheimer's and put her on Alzheimer's medication.
Hmm.
Which almost gave her Alzheimer's. I mean, she was slurring her words, sleeping all the time. So what I did was I took her off all medication and put her on vitamins, and she was taking like 12 vitamins at that time.
Oh.
And now she reads a book a day.
A book a day?
Yes.
And she's 97 and a half. That's amazing.
And she remembers more than I sometimes.
Well, what are some of the learnings that you have gleaned regarding the qualities and characteristics that are helpful, if not necessary, in helping a parent at home?
First of all, question everything.
Question everything, all right.
If the doctor gives her medication, mm-hmm. question the medication, and especially the side effects. And for an elderly person, the side effects may not be the same as for a younger person.
Can you say more about that?
For example, my mother would say she has a vibration in her body.
Uh-huh.
And when she says that, I know because of many times we have to take her to the doctors, but that's an infection. So she can't express when she was younger, she couldn't say, oh, by the way, my bladder hurts, or I'm having pain. So her conception of what's going on is a little bit different.
All right. Well, then, in regard to being very astute and aware regarding your loved one, what would be some other things to be concerned about regarding doctors, clinics, hospitals, medications, and things like that, and tests that might be prescribed for them?
When my mother was first diagnosed with congestive heart failure,
uh-huh.
I brought her to the doctor, and the doctor said to me, oh, you probably don't want to do anything because of her age. And I said, what do you mean?
Uh-huh.
very active, and so he says, what is she doing? Is she sitting around all day? And I told him that she makes her bed, she takes care of a cat, folds her laundry, and she goes dancing every week.
Oh, my goodness.
Which so, was that, too. But just to stress the point that she is still functioning as a human being.
And that obviously you want her to have the best care and comfort and health that she can possibly have every year and every moment of her life. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. What else would you recommend then, Rosemary, regarding dealing with doctors and hospitals? For example, what if they tell you, no, we can't do this, no, we can't do that?
Well, usually I think I don't take no for an answer.
All right. So you are very strong and assertive about that.
And also I question any test. They want to do a spinal test. Now, she's 97 years old. What is a spinal tap going to show? She didn't have any really reason for it. Plus, at that age, first of all, it should not be done at a doctor's office. It should be done in a hospital where they could really take note of where they're placing the needle, for example, with a radiologist.
Oh, yes.
And because her bones are fused, because of her age, it would be very difficult to do spinal tap on her. So I just told them, no way.
All right, so you have to be somewhat aware of the danger regarding the test, any side effects, and whether or not it's just really an unnecessary expense. Now, what about when you're making an appointment for your loved one to go to a clinic? What about the timing and other people in the waiting room?
I always try to get the very first appointment available. This way she's not exposed to other people and other germs.
So early in the day?
Yes.
All right.
And that has worked out fine for us.
Oh, well, that's very good. And then what about records? Do you get copies of everything?
Oh, yes. And I always keep records on hand and also list of her medications, which, by the way, she's only on one.
Oh, very good. All right, then. So you are really on top of everything so that nothing slips through the cracks and you're able to give a good report when you go to the doctor, the clinic, or the hospital and let them know what the particular situation is, what her symptoms are, what she's there for, and so on.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that brings me to the next questions. You had mentioned a while ago that your mother, Teresa Ann Kolinsky, reads a book a day, that she sometimes feeds the animals, and that she has various tasks and chores and responsibilities. She folds her clothes. What else does she do, and what do you do to keep her active in life and active around the house?
Well, when she first came to stay with me, she couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. And the very first thing I did was make sure she got plenty of more activity. And I would take her to Walmart and have a walk, even if it was for 5 minutes. So 5 minutes, then it was 10 minutes. Now she can walk the whole length of Walmart with holding on to a cart.
That's outstanding. So you have really helped her stamina and her focus and her balance so that she can walk a long distance. And you're using, I take it, the shopping cart as a walker or a support.
Yes. Also, I would tell her to buy something. So she has to think about what she wants to buy. What money she has available, and the change. So she's thinking most of the time.
Oh, that's very good. And I suppose she enjoys getting out and going for a ride in the car to the store, and then she gets the exercise involvement and stimulation of being out with other people.
Right.
Very good. What about cleaning? Does she do any cleaning? You said she makes her bed. Does she do any dusting or anything like that?
Yes, she does. She'll dust her room. And she'll clean the bathroom as well as she can.
Well, now, at home, does she use a walker or a cane?
She uses a cane.
I see. Now, how do you keep her involved in her appearance and her interest up in the look of the house, the way that you have arranged it and decorated it and so on? Do you engage her interest in any particular way?
Yes, I always ask her opinion because she still wants to feel important.
Of course.
And that her opinion counts.
Yes.
So if I buy something, and when I take her to the store, I said, should I buy this? Does this look good on me? Or she picks out her own clothes. And she makes sure her hair is just done perfect.
Oh, very good.
So she's up to date.
Oh, well, that's good. Now, does she wear makeup, and does she ever go to get her hair done?
She will not leave the house without makeup.
I see. Very good.
And, yes, she gets her hair done. It's usually I do it.
Oh, that's great. Very good. So, really, you have kept her interested in her appearance, her self-esteem, her pride, and the fact that you have kept her so actively involved in the home and in her appearance and with the animals, as well as going shopping with you, makes it sound as if she is quite clear and cogent and able to interact with people. So that brings me to the next question, Rosemary. Do you ever take her out to functions or events?
Yes, I do. I bring it to the, if I'm taking a course, I bring her along with me.
Oh, and so she goes and sits there for a lecture, for example?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's outstanding. Well, now, speaking of a course, you had mentioned to me earlier that you have recently renewed your nursing credentials. When you did that, I presume you had to drive quite some distance away, and that necessitated finding someone to take care of your mother during the length of the course. So could you please tell us about that whole process, where it was, how long it took, and who looked after your mom?
Okay, it was an 8-week course, mm-hmm. Research course for nurses, and I was lucky that my neighbor down the road just retired. So he was able to check in on her a couple times during the day while I was gone, which meant that I had to get up about sometimes between 4 and 4:30 and leave the house by 5:30. The course was about over an hour and a half away.
Oh, my.
So it was quite an experience, let me put it that way. But she did great. She was more independent with me not being there.
What can you say more about that?
She did more. She cleaned the kitchen. She tried to help me because when I would come home about 5 o'clock, I was totally exhausted. The only thing I could do was feed everybody and study and go to bed. Start over again.
Yes, and so she really wanted to assist and be part of the process to help you get your nursing credentials renewed.
Yes.
Well, that's very touching. How would you say that it's enriched you having your mom living with you in the past 5 years, Rosemary?
It really has made me not focus on myself, but just on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And she has so much wisdom. At first I was treating her almost like a child, but then I realized she is not a child. She has a lot of intelligence, a lot to offer. And listening to her, we would talk about the old times and what she went through as a child. And really has a lot to offer. And she just loves life and never complains. So I'm very blessed that she is this way.
Yes, indeed.
And likes my cooking. That's pretty bad.
Well, I take it that you would never even consider putting her in a nursing home. Is that true?
No, because working in a nursing home, I must say, unless it was very special, there is just not enough nurses, and the staff is always short of staff. And I would advise anybody who has a parent in a nursing home just to make sure everything is done. Just be the squeaky wheel.
That gets the grease.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, now, tell me, what are some things that people who have loved ones in nursing homes should be on top of in case they don't really know where to start or what they should be looking for?
Well, any change of behavior in their parents, maybe subtle. with me, if there's only one nurse on the floor, it's very difficult for a nurse to just observe what's going on. It's so much better if there's a family member tells that, you know, she's not eating right or if something is wrong, she's not feeling well. And usually a relative would be able to pick this up sooner than the nurse on the floor because they're more aware of their habits and they have had to communicate.
What if a person has a loved one who's in a nursing home, but is quite far away, so they are unable, for various reasons, to visit them on a regular basis, but they can talk with them on the phone? What kinds of questions should they ask them, assuming they're coherent and could answer the questions?
Well, ask them about their diet, what kind of food they're eating, their activity level, it's just any sores on their body. I'm talking mainly about bed sores.
Yes. Now, how can people recognize a bed sore, Rosemary?
For instance, you see on the cockpit area, and it starts off just like a reddened area, and then if it's not taken care of, which means they need to change positions frequently, not just stay in bed, up in a chair or a wheelchair. Even if they can walk around a bit. Second stage is a blister.
All right. So it starts out with a red mark like a welt?
Yes.
And then it moves to a blister stage.
And then third stage would be the breaking down, the skin breaks down.
The skin breaks down and then the bed sore would burst and it would become perhaps infected?
Yes, that's right.
All right, then, so those are the three stages. And tell me, can a person get a bed sore from sitting overly long in a wheelchair or on a chair?
Oh, yes.
So the key thing is that people should get up, move around, and even if they're not very mobile, they should change position so that the skin doesn't wear in the same spot through friction. Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, that's very helpful to know, extremely helpful to know. Now, Rosemary, this brings me to the question of your care and renewal and uplift on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis. Since you're the only caregiver for your mother, and you're also a nurse and a massage therapist, and you have all those animals on your farm, and you have to do yard work and housework, how on earth do you keep yourself motivated, excited about life, happy and upbeat, and in good physical, mental, and emotional shape? Would you be willing to tell us a bit about your routine or regime?
Well, the first thing when I get up in the morning, I have my gratitude list.
What is your gratitude list?
It's a list of showing the things that I am grateful for. And I have a list and good health and happiness, all my animals. My mother is, at her age, still able to walk and enthused about going every place with me. And that's a blessing in itself. And I, knock on wood, I haven't been sick in 5 years.
Wow.
I can't get a cold.
That's tremendous.
I can't afford to.
So your gratitude list starts the day off right. Now, is this a list that changes continually?
Yes, I actually add more to it, it seems like. The weather is nice. I'm able to, my animals are not sick. I'm just grateful for that I could get up in the morning without any aches or pains.
Absolutely. Now, tell me, do you look at your gratitude list on an index card, or do you review it in your mind, or do you keep it in a journal or a notebook, or do you say it out loud or as a form of a prayer? How do you actually interact with your gratitude list?
I write it down.
You write it down. And so, all right. And so how would you phrase it, for example?
These are the things that I'm grateful for.
All right.
And I'd like to just mention a little story.
Yes.
One day, it was last summer, I took my mother, I think she had like 22 doctor's appointments.
22?
In the period of a month.
Oh, my.
And this is mainly because she was going to have her upper teeth removed. So we had to go back from one doctor to the other, and they wouldn't do the surgery unless you went to this one and that one. And I was sitting in the doctor's office, and prior to that, I was saying, oh, God, I just wish someone would say thank you for taking care of my mother, your mother. And as we went into the doctor's office, it was presented, and this person came up to me, and he says, is that your mother? And I said, yes, it is. And he says, usually you don't see a daughter taking care of their mother. And he uses, you know, they may just put them in an institution. And he says, turned around and told me, he says, thank you for taking care of your mother.
That's a perfect example of the law of attraction at work, that you had asked that you would receive that feedback, and sure enough, as precisely as could be, there it was. What a delight to hear that.
That was. I laughed.
Well, that reminds me to ask you about the importance of touch.
Oh, yes. Especially the elderly. It is so important to make them feel loved, and no, there's no other better way than touching. Well, I massage my mother's hand, and I usually fix her hair, and it's so relaxing for me, and she enjoys it so much. And that reminds me of when I first started massage school, we were told a story of a Japanese man who had his mother-in-law living with him and who he wasn't happy with. So he asked the herbalist if he could make up solutions to more or less make his mother-in-law actually die or poison, whatever. And so the herbalist said, I want you first to massage her every day. And then come back to me in a matter of a week.
And was he supposed to massage her in a certain area?
Just her hands.
Oh, just the hands, all right.
And so he did, and he came back to the herbalist, and so the herbalist said, you want the poison now? He said, no. We started talking, and I really enjoyed her. So that was, that always stuck with me.
So the power of massaging even a small area such as a person's hands can develop such a bond between people that, in the case of this particular man who had such enmity for his mother-in-law, the hatred was massaged away and love took its place.
Exactly.
Well, now, when you massage your mother's hands, do you use any type of cream or oil? And how do you proceed? Do you put a towel on her lap, or what's the routine for that?
Well, first of all, I soak her hands.
In some type of just plain water?
I have water with lavender in it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it's she likes that.
Is it warm water?
Oh, yes.
Is it like a dish pan or some sort of bowl?
Yes.
All right. So that starts out the softening and warming up of the skin.
Right.
And then what do you do?
And then I massage. I have many oils, but she likes the lavender oil.
Uh-huh.
So I will wipe her hands off and then massage her hands, and she just enjoys it tremendously.
Well, that sounds like a lovely thing to do for anyone, but especially for your mother. And considering all of the thousands of hours that mothers have given their love to us with the initial changing of diapers and feeding of baby food and bouncing us and changing our clothes and getting us ready for school and doing a myriad of things, now to be able to massage a mother's loving hands and to let her feel the same sort of care and tenderness that she gave you must be a tremendous sense of bonding, and that's also something you could add to your own gratitude list.
Yes.
Well, now, what else do you do for yourself, Rosemary, in our last few minutes here of the show? Do you have any particular place in your house that is a private little corner for you, or anything that you focus on, or any other routine that you do that focuses and centers you?
Yes, I have, I'm very lucky. I have 15 acres, and at the bottom of my property is a creek.
Oh.
So, for me, walking down and being in touch with nature is so relaxing. Mm-hmm. I go down to the creek and I just meditate.
So you meditate outdoors in nature, and that renews and restores you.
Oh, yes.
Now, do you have any place inside your house where you can do something similar?
Yes, in my bedroom I have a meditation center where I meditate and just get fresh, so to speak.
Uh-huh. And do you ever light a candle or read spiritual or scriptural works or inspirational literature?
Oh, yes. As often as I can.
Well, that's very good. So really that serves as a point of focus and a kind of a hermit's cave for you in
yes.
a way. Is that right?
Yes.
When you need to just be by yourself and get a little respite from mom and the animals, you can go in your room or go down by the stream and just tune in and meditate.
Yes, that's what I do.
That's very good. Well, Rosemary, it's been delightful talking with you this evening, and I'd like to ask if there is one final idea or thought or inspirational comment that you would like to leave with our listeners.
Well, I think the most important is I try to treat my mother the way I would like to be treated.
Yes, and what does that mean?
Well, sometimes I'm tired and I can be a little grumpy, and then I remember, would I like to be treated by somebody who's grumpy?
So you're always considering the effect of your mood or attitude or your words on her, and that helps you, I take it, catch yourself before you say something regrettable.
Right. Because if I'm in a bad mood, she becomes in a bad mood. She picks up on my energy.
Yes. And so if you nip it in the bud, then you can save yourselves a lot of grief.
That's right. No apologies needed.
Absolutely, yes. The best apology is the one that we never have to say.
Right.
Well, again, thank you so much, Rosemary. And that concludes our show tonight. You've been listening to Rosemary Strauss of Dry Ridge, Kentucky. Thanks for listening. I'm Connie Shaw. Visit our website at connieshaw.com and listen next time to Awakening, Talks with Compelling People. Remember, you can make a huge difference by sharing your love to alleviate human suffering. Please commit to joining or creating a selfless service project in your community today.